You're listening to a presentation brought to you by Mystery Play Internet Radio.
This podcast is proud to be part of the Blueberry Network. That's blueberry with no e's.com.
Notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair.
Good evening. This is Orson Welles. Personally, I've never met anybody who didn't like a good ghost story. But I know a lot of people who think there are a lot of people who don't like a good ghost story. For the benefit of these, at least, I go on record at the outset of this evening's entertainment with a sober assurance that although blood may be curdled on this program, none will be spilt. There's no shooting, knifing, throttling, axing, or poisoning here. No clanking chains, no cobwebs, no bony and or hairy hands appearing from secret panels or, better yet, bedroom curtains. If it's any part of that dear old phosphorescent foolishness that people who don't like ghost stories don't like, then again, I promise you, we haven't got it. Not tonight. What we do have is a thriller. It's half as good as we think it is. You can call it a shocker. It's already been called a real Orson Welles story. Now, frankly, I don't know what this means. I've been on the air directing and acting in my own shows for quite a while now, and I don't suppose I've done more than half a dozen thrillers in all that time. Honestly, I don't think even that many, but it seems I do have a reputation for the uncanny. Quite possibly, a little escapade of mine involving a couple of planets, which shall be nameless, is responsible. Doesn't really matter. Don't think I disapprove of thrillers. I don't. A story doesn't have to appeal to the heart. It can also appeal to the spine. Sometimes you want your heart to be warmed, and sometimes you want your spine to tingle. The tingling, it's to be hoped, will be quite audible as you listen tonight.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kell with a brief reminder. Mystery Play Internet Radio is listener-supported, so I encourage your monetary support with a donation today. Please visit www.mpir-otr.com and click on the donations page. A one-time donation of any amount will be greatly appreciated. Again, that's www.mpir-otr.com. And thank you for listening to Mystery Play Internet Radio.
Quiet, please. Quiet, please.
The Japs are trembling in their boots at this moment for the word that Lindsay Bradley is on their trail. Lindsay, our loss is Uncle Sam's gain. Your fellow employees wish you success, adventure, and a bushel of medals. And in token of our high esteem for you, in remembrance of the happy hours we have spent with you in the plant, for we are all one big happy family, I present you with this 17-jewel, solid gold, imported wristwatch. May it ever remind you of your good friends here at this arsenal of democracy you are leaving to face our enemies in person.
Speak!
All I can say, fellow employees, fellas, and Mr. Throop, all I can say is, I thank you.
Beautiful watch, Lindsay. But for heaven's sake, this is your last night before you go to camp. And I do wish you could pay a little attention to me.
Verna, I'm sorry. I never had such a nice watch, though, and I get carried away. I'm sorry, honey, really.
Well, for goodness sake, act like it, then.
Huh? Act like what?
Act like you're sorry. Kiss me.
Oh. I should say so.
I am going to miss you, Lindsay.
Oh, heck, it isn't as if I was going overseas right away, honey. Oh, my goodness, I'll probably be in the camp for quite a while to learn things. Heck, you could come and see me often.
Maybe I could get an apartment in the town where the camp is, and the sergeant or whoever it is would let you live at home and just go to the camp days.
Well, I don't know about that.
It would be wonderful, Lindsay. You could come home for meals, and you could have a colonel in for dinner. It would be just like home.
Uh-huh.
First thing you do when you get to camp is find a nice apartment, about 4 rooms, maybe 5, and I'll come right away, huh?
I'll see, honey.
You don't seem to be very excited about it.
Well, I don't know how it'll be at camp. You know, I might not be able to find an apartment, and maybe I wouldn't be staying there long.
You don't want me to be with you.
Why, sure I do, Verna, but I...
You just want to leave me here all alone in this old place while you go off camping out and being in parades and having a wonderful time?
Well, I don't think it'll be like that, Verna. Francis Felton wrote last week from Camp Breckenridge, and he said he'd lost 13 pounds.
Well, he could stand it. Goodness, I just bet it's wonderful for the boys in camp, marching and having sham battles, and goodness, I wonder what you'll be doing this time tomorrow.
11 hours now, and I'll be arriving.
What are you doing with that watch?
Huh? I was just setting it ahead 11 hours.
All right, get your heels together, all of you. Chin in, chest out, you're at attention.
My goodness gracious.
Quiet!
But I just...
And I said silence.
Could I ask a question, Lieutenant?
I am a sergeant.
Could I ask a question, Sergeant? Please?
What?
Where am I?
You crazy, Mac?
Well, gee, honest, sir, I'm not sure.
Well, I'll just refresh your memory, bud. You're at Camp Dix, New Jersey. And you're a great, big, ugly, flat-footed private in the infantry, whether you like it or not.
Well, for heaven's sake... Well, for heaven's sake, I said. How I got there, I will never know. One minute I was sitting on the Davenport with Verna right in my own living room in Highbridge, New Jersey, just for no reason, setting my watch 11 hours ahead, and then, bung, I'm alongside the railroad station in Camp Dix, and it's daylight, and this sergeant... Well, now, things don't happen like that. There's no such thing as magic. But, well, how? Tell me how. All right, you can't tell me, so I'll tell you. I'll tell you how I found it out. It was an hour later that they let us sit down a few minutes. And there was a man sitting alongside me, and he said, I have a good-looking watch, didn't I? So I told him how the boys at the plant gave it to me, and he admired it some more. And then he said, did I know my watch was an hour fast? So I said, is that so? And I turned it back and...
All right, get your heels together, all of you. Chin in, chest out, you're at attention.
And I heard myself say, my goodness gracious.
Quiet.
But I just said...
And I said silence.
Could I ask a question, Lieutenant?
I am a sergeant.
Could I ask a question, Sergeant? Please. And by goodness, I went through that whole hour again. And I was so tired when we got back to the time and the place where the man said I had a good-looking watch. And I looked at that watch. I didn't say anything this time. So time went on the way it ought to go on, and they took us to eat. But I couldn't eat anything, because my stomach was full of great big butterflies. Finally, when I had a minute, I got to a phone booth, and I waited 45 minutes, and I got a call through to High Bridge to find out what Verna had to say about it, and Mrs. Houlihan from next door answered, and she said Verna was in bed with a high temperature. And what the dickens did I do to her on my last night at home? So I hung up. Sure, the watch. Whatever I said it at, that's what time it is. This could be a very handy thing, but I have to be careful. Say, where do you suppose they got that watch? It's really... And then I happen to think of something. My gosh, what would happen if that watch ran down someday if I forgot to wind it and it stopped? Would time stop? Wow. Well, I'm not going to try to find out. You know, this sergeant, he wasn't such a bad fella at that. I was sitting on my bunk one night after supper. There wasn't anybody else in the barracks, and he walked in. I said, hi, Sergeant.
What's with you, Bradley?
Oh, I'm just tired.
Ain't you going to the movies?
No, they run that picture in High Bridge 2 months ago.
Mm, cigarette?
Thanks. Are you going?
I feel kind of low.
Oh, that's so?
Yeah. Got a dear John.
Of which?
Letter from a girlfriend.
Oh?
Hey, you know. Dear John, I don't know how to tell you, but I have fallen in love with another guy, and you and I will always be good friends.
Oh.
Yeah, great. Don't ever get married, kid.
I am married.
Oh, excuse me. You happy?
Well, oh, sure. Sure, sure, sure.
Great.
We've been married 4 years.
Miss her, huh?
You bet. This is a kind of vacation, though. You know. She said she might come down here to live near the camp.
You like that?
Well.
What's your monkeying with that watch?
Huh? I was just thinking of an experiment.
What kind of experiment?
Oh, nothing. Just nothing.
Huh. Want a beer? Let's walk over to the PX.
So we walked over to the PX and we had a beer and then we had another and me and my big mouth, beer always makes me talkative.
So then I prove it to
him. How will you prove it to me?
Well, how soon will the movie be out and the fellas come back to the barracks?
An hour.
Okay. Watch.
What are you doing?
Sitting at a head an hour.
Hey, look, why don't you try to shut up and go to sleep?
Turn it back! Turn it back!
Light.
Okay,
Boy.
Sergeant.
Brother.
Yeah.
See, it works.
They all appeared.
Just out of nothing.
That's the way it'll be an hour from...
I've been using it.
Yes?
How? I've been setting it ahead every day for a while.
What for?
See if my wife is going to arrive.
Huh? Wife?
Well, I'd like to have some warning, see?
Oh, so you can hit me for a pass.
Either that, Sergeant, or so as I can go AWOL. No, Verna's all right. We get along all right, but... Well, heck, she demands. I mean, I never got out before I was drafted, and... Well, darn it, I kind of like being my own boss. That is, as far as the Army had let you, you know what I mean? Yeah, I love Vern all right, but I knew what it'd be once she got settled in an apartment here in town. Heck, High Bridge isn't far away. I could get a pass once in a while, but here in town... No, I figured that was too close. Yeah, I feel a lot different about it now, but this was quite a while ago, see, 1944, and I'd only been away from her a few months. You know what I mean? Okay. So she
snuck up on me, after all. I forgot one night to set my watch ahead, and first thing the next morning, I got the word that she was here. So I talked to the sergeant out of a pass. We kidded a little. I went to town to meet her. It was kind of nice. But, gosh, I couldn't get a word in edgeways.
Lindsay, you're so thin.
Well, I've been...
I know you. You just won't talk up to these sergeants and majors and people. Just let them walk all over you. You wait till I see somebody in authority.
Oh, now, Verna, you can't...
You've been drinking. I'll bet you've been drinking. Well, I'll put a stop to that. When we get an apartment here in town, you can have ginger ale at home. And I'll make brownies, and you can have some of the boys over once in a while.
Verna.
What?
Verna, do you love me?
Why, silly child, of course I do. Here, give me a kiss. Now wipe off that lipstick. Are you going to take me out to the camp? I'm just dying to see it.
Well, I thought maybe we'd stay in town.
Now, Lindsay, I'm not going to sit around in this dismal town all day and all night when there's all sorts of interesting things going on out where you're camping. I came down here to enjoy myself, and that's what we're going to do no matter what you...
So that's the way it was, yakety-yakety all the time, and I got awful tired of it all of a sudden. You know, it used to be I could kind of shut my ears to the yakety-yakety, but I seemed to have lost the trick somehow, and so then I thought, gosh, I'm going to see how long this is going to go on. So I turned my back, and I moved the hands of my watch ahead, and I'd got it 10 hours ahead, and I heard a kind of sigh or something, and I turned around, and you know what? There was this sergeant kissing my wife just as big as you please. Well, I grabbed his arm, and I tried to yank him away, but it was just like I wasn't there. And Verna spoke to him, and it didn't sound like the yakety-yakety she used on me.
Oh, Sergeant Kilroy, so impulsive.
And then I remembered that what I was seeing was 10 hours away, and I quick spun the hands of my watch back again, and well, doggone it, I went too far back.
Lindsay, you're so thin.
And that was where I came in, and I had to go through all of it again. But doing the repeat on the kisses wasn't so bad, till I remembered the way she was going to talk to Sergeant Kilroy about 10 hours from now. About 5 o'clock, he showed up, and he told me I had to go back to camp. How do you like that? He could stay in town, he said, and he'd be glad to show my wife around and keep her entertained while that was away, my pal. And I crossed him up all right. I waited a couple hours after I got back to camp, and then I just set the watch ahead, and it's morning, and the whole company, including Sergeant Kilroy, is turning out for reveille. She stayed there. She got an apartment such as it was. I got a lot of passes. I took the sergeant in with me every once in a while, and everything was as nice as pie. I didn't do much with the watch because I was scared of it. I took awful good care it was wound all the time. I tried once to see if I could turn it ahead farther than 12 hours, but I couldn't. When the hands got the 12 hours ahead, everything just clicked right back. Well, you see, 12 hours, the hands just come right back to where they were when you started. Anyway, half a day's enough for me. Heck, it's too much. Think it ain't? Yeah, there come a day. There always comes a day. A big bunch of us got pulled out early in the morning with our A&B bags and everything out of the kitchen stove hung onto us. We're off to the races. Only Sergeant Kilroy, he's permanent detail. He stays in camp. Great deal. Well, I'm smart. I get myself lost in the dark, and I beat it for a taxi, and I haul down to town our apartment. No, Verna doesn't know I'm leaving. I don't know where I'm going, and no, I'm not trying to desert. I want to find out something. I get in the apartment, and Verna doesn't wake up, and she looks awful cute asleep. But I turn the hands on my watch ahead 3 hours. Nothing happened, except the bed was all of a sudden empty, and I could hear Verna out in the other room, and of course it was full daylight now. So I heaved a big sigh of relief. Everything's all right.
And then...
Who is it? Who is it?
Gilroy's here, darling.
And I was so mad. I thought what to do, and then, well, just as Vern unlocked the door, I got it. I set my watch back where it belonged, and it was early dark morning again, and she was asleep there in the bed, smiling, and I got out of the apartment. I'll fix that, I said to myself. I'll beat it back to camp, and I'll knock that Kilroy's head off, and a big MP stepped up in front of me.
Hey, take it easy, Mac. Where you going with that equipment?
Huh? I missed the train, huh?
Oh, you missed the train, huh?
Yeah, I...
That's fine, Mac. Listen, the train ain't left yet, Mac.
Oh?
It ain't due to leave for 20 minutes yet, Mac. So I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. Just get in the Jeep here with me, Mac. I'll deliver you special. Right to the steps of the car. Okay, Mac?
And so I started my trip overseas handcuffed to an MP. And there wasn't any kidding about it. I was on that train, but good. And all the jumping up and down in the world wasn't going to do me any good. Because in an hour and a half, I was sitting on a bunk about a foot above sea level in the hold of a great big transport, and the ship was aiming for Africa as fast as they could turn over the propeller. Me and my fancy watch, I wish I'd never seen it. But what can a guy do? I throw it away, what'll happen? It'll stop, and... Well, all right, maybe time won't stop, but you see what's happened before. I won't take chances. So, well, it turned out it was a good thing I hung on to it. Because I'm in a hole a few weeks later with another guy in a bazooka, and Mr. Rommel's tanks are doing all right, and I'm scared. This fella, Red Felbinger, his name was, he's my loader, and we're popping away at Krauts whenever we can get a beat on one, and then there's a kind of lull, and we don't see anybody, so we light up a smoke, and Red leans his arms up on the edge of the hole and looks out.
Looks like they blowed the whistle, Lindsay.
Huh? What you mean?
I don't see anybody anyplace.
Let me see. And that was the end of Red Felbinger. And it was pretty near the end of me, except for the watch. All the German tanks in the world were heading right straight for me and blazing away like the 4th of July. Only it wasn't no celebration. The air was thick with hunks of iron, and I leaned down to pick up my bazooka, and then the thought come to me. I reached for my watch. 2 hours I'll set it back, I thought. And I did, and all the tanks and everything disappeared. So I climbed out of the hole and started away from there. And all I remember was... And everything went black and red and green, and I'm dead. I won't try to tell you about all the trouble I had with my arm, how I got sent back to the States, spent the next 4 years in the hospital. Verna? And sure, I saw Verna. I saw her a lot. She used to come and see me all the time. And she was different. Seemed like all I'd been through had kind of changed her. She felt so sorry for me. Gosh, I got to feeling sorry for myself. You know how it is? Well, it was a long time those years with all I had to do to my neck and my arm. Once in a while, I'd think about Sergeant Kilroy. But, gosh, Verna was so different now. I knew everything was okay, so I forgot it. Funny thing was, though, I couldn't turn the watch up to where it belonged all that time. I tried, the nurses tried, the doctors. I couldn't do it, there was no soap. And all this time I got nervous and irritable. I used to have, delusions. One day last month, it was the first day I had my artificial arm, I woke up kind of dopey. I thought I'd seen somebody leaving my room at Walter Reed. I sort of heard the nurse talking to a guy in civilian clothes that looked kind of familiar, and I thought I heard him answer.
Oh, no. Just tell him Gilroy was here.
Well, I was going to tell Verna, but knew him and everything. I forgot. So I got out last week. It was kind of fun. I went back to High Bridge. Verna had fixed up her old place swell, and yeah, she was special nice to me. I pretty near felt I could afford to lose that arm to make that difference in Verna. She was all right. Only she kept kidding me about the way I'd fiddle with my watch. I couldn't tell her I was trying to get it set back to where it belonged. There was 2 hours worth of difference in that watch. I guess I got into the habit when I felt so lousy, always twiddling at it, you know, that... Oh, there's somebody at the door. Verna's downtown getting her hair fixed. I wonder who it is.
Yes. Hi, Lindsay.
Gilroy!
Mind if I come in a minute, Jed?
Why, sure. Sure, Gilroy.
Thank you.
Glad to see you. Gee, Vernon, I'll be glad to see you, too. Sit down.
Much obliged. Well, I see you still got the trick watch.
Yeah, still got it. How you been?
What are you fiddling with the watch for, Lindsay?
It got stuck. Deck? Yeah, I keep fooling with it. Well, tell me where you've been since you got out.
I wish you'd stop fooling with that watch.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey! By golly, I got it! I got it! I'll just set it ahead 2 hours to make...
Yeah. Verna! It's about time. Where you been? All right, I'll meet you there. What? Good Lord, yes. Certainly I did. What? Well, how would you like to sit around in a room for 2 hours with a guy you just shot? Huh?
Any of the characters in tonight's story. They didn't exist before I thought them up, and they're not imitations of anybody.
And so, until next week at this time, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell. Quiet Please comes to you from New York and was transcribed earlier from Eastern Mutual for this presentation. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.